Certainly, when America wrote its Declaration of Independence, that the beginning of the last days. I started thinking about that, and I consulted the book of Hebrews, and it's kind of funny, the book of Hebrews, which we'll be getting to in about a month. We'll be going through Hebrews. It starts this way. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. In the past, God spoke to us and to our ancestors through prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. Listen to the way in which He describes the Son. I couldn't stop there. The Son whom He has appointed heir of all things and through whom also made the universe. The Son, Jesus Christ, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being, sustaining all things by His powerful word. After He had provided purification for the sins of mankind, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. In these last days, He has spoken to us through His Son. I would venture to say that we have been in the last days since the coming of Jesus Christ. Now, I just want to flesh out, make sure you draw out the difference between the beginning of last days and the end of last days. Are you with me? Understand? Jesus Christ, the beginning of the end. The entire point of the book of Hebrews is to show the superiority of Jesus Christ in the final days. God has revealed His Son as the answer. God has delivered Him as a new covenant to be established. God has sent a redeemer. God has provided a way to stand up underneath the harsh realities of coming destruction. The end is coming. The end is near. The judgment has already been passed. Sin, disobedience, deception, all brought us death. God provided an answer to this catastrophe in the last days. God provided a way. He is the way maker, and His name is Jesus Christ. Now, some will deny God. There's your first one. In the last days, some will deny Jesus Christ. They will deny God. There will be those who will deny the faith. And so today, I'm placing you before the altar of Jesus Christ. Today, I'm placing you into a pivotal position in your spiritual walk. You can accept or reject. You can admit or you can refute. The way in which we will do this today is in the form of communion. You will accept the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross and His blood shed for the forgiveness of your sin, establishing a new covenant between you and God and the forgiveness for all mankind, or you can reject it. I leave that to you. And so we'll move into communion. And many of you probably have already been given a communion cup. And I would ask that you take that. Those may be at home as well, may want to join us in communion. Or don't. I'd hate for you to bring upon more judgment on yourself by taking something, introducing something, something spiritual into your life that you really don't believe, that you really don't want. But today is the opportunity and the chance to say, I accept Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins. The story for most of us is pretty familiar. He was with his disciples. He took bread. Has everybody got their bread? I see how many people struggle just to get their bread. Give us today our daily bread, Lord, and help me get it out of this thing. Took bread. He gave thanks. And he said, take this and eat this, for this is my body, which will be broken for you as a ransom. Let us partake together. In a very similar manner, he had taken the cup. He gave thanks, giving it to them, saying, take this. I'm patient, don't hurry. And I'll even pray a special bond over this today, that those that would partake would receive the forgiveness of their sins. And Lord, you would accept it. It's our way of saying, I am yours. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. He gave it to them saying, take this and drink this, for this is a cup of my blood, spilled out and shed for the forgiveness of sins, signifying and sealing an everlasting covenant between God and man. Those that believe, those that have faith, those that would not deny, let us partake together. Father in heaven, it is indeed a glorious moment and a glorious time when your family gathered in unity together can say, we love you. We remember that which you have done for us, and we plead our salvation. Remember us. Bless us. Father, we thank you for all that you have done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. Grant us peace that only you can give. Shower us with your mercy that we might give it away. Give us grace that we might give it away. May we walk in forgiveness that we might give forgiveness. You teach us much. And Father, spiritually uphold us in this place. In the name of your Son we pray. Amen. In the last days, we will witness some changes. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, unforgiving, slanderous, brutal, not lovers of the good, lovers of pleasure rather than of God. All the headlines read the same in CNN and pretty much on any news channel. Fox News the same as well. There's murder. Jealousy and rage and revenge and gossip and greed. But this particular passage jumped out at me for a particular reason, because of love. It jumped out at me because of love. The passage is full of love. It's full of love. Love is in the air. In every sight and every sound, right? Love is in the air. Every sight and every sound. Love overflows in the last days. Are you kidding me? Really? People will lovers? Oh, yes, sweet lovers of themselves. Sweet lovers of money, boastful, proud. Lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God. There's a lot of love in the air. There's lots of love going around, and it begged me this question. Here's your next slide. Is there a difference between biblical love and non-biblical love? I mean, all good is, love is all good, right? All love is good. So all love is good, so I took what I can get, right? You ain't seen nothing yet. All love is good. Is there a difference? And if there's a difference, what's the subtlety? How do you know? I mean, because it all looks genuine enough. It all looks caring enough. It all looks gentle enough at times. Intimate enough, all-inclusive. This is love. According to the scripture, there were women in Ephesus that were being deceived. Men were teaching false doctrines and had multiple lovers and concubines. These are the leaders of the church giving false impressions of what real love looks like. Men, it says, that with depraved minds were leading the church. That has huge implications. Depraved men leading the church, thinking not of God but thinking of themselves, loving not the Lord but loving money. Not thinking of the Lord, but loving all the pleasures and of intimacy and sex. And there's a lot of love going on. There's lots of people saying, it's all love. It's just love. It's good. All love. It's good. Is all love biblical love? And just a quick comparison to 1 Corinthians 13, if you hung around for the wedding last weekend, who hung around for the wedding last weekend? We finished it. God bless, and I see that they're hanging out in the back back there. Why aren't you on a honeymoon somewhere? Good to see you. Glad you're here. We read 1 Corinthians 13. And just even as a comparison, right? They will be boasters. Love does not boast. They will be proud. Love is not proud. They will be disobedient. Love doesn't dishonor others. They will be unforgiving. Love keeps no records of wrongs. They will be without self-control, according to 2 Timothy. Love is not self-seeking. They will be despisers of the good, is how it's described. They will be despisers of the good. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. But it's all, we're all love. It's all love. How's that go? They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. What kind of love you got? What kind of love are you giving away? What kind of love are you looking for? Is it biblical? Is it a biblical love? Lovers of themselves and the things of this world. Jesus said it this way, anyone who loves their life will lose it, while anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. What's that? See, is your love based on a feeling? Is your love based on fulfillment of desires of the flesh? Emotional fulfillment, that's love, baby. It's all good love. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God? Are you seeking temporary happiness instead of eternal joy? The world is shifting all the time. It's readjusting, refocusing, redefining sin. Many have lowered the standards of God to include themselves in God's love. You believe that? This was happening in the Ephesus church. They just sacrificed the truth so that they could live the way they desired to live and say it was okay. They rationalized behavior, thereby rejecting God. In a changing world, you know, God does not change. And people really, in 2,000 years, since the beginning of last days, they haven't really changed much. What's being described as 2,000 years ago in an Ephesus church, and it applies right here, right now. And you know why? Because it's people. People. People haven't changed all that much. Maybe the fashion styles have changed a little bit. Maybe the way in which we transport each other around or get around and move around. Maybe the way we communicate, you know, texting. But we're still looking for love in all the wrong places. Where's people? Paul describes perilous times, the last days, troubling times, the last days, terrible times in the last days, dreadful times in the last days, and then he describes people. See, Paul's not talking about what is the perilous time? Oh, it's when hurricanes happen. When's the perilous time? Oh, it's when climate change really starts to make an effect on the world. When's the perilous time? When there's more earthquakes? When is the perilous time? He's not talking about times. He's talking about people. He's talking about people. Dangerous people. More and more will rise up and deny Christ. More and more will rise up and turn away. More and more will mislead and misguide. They'll corrupt congregations. They'll corrupt those that are seeking the reality and the truth of God. They will corrupt them and move them in a different direction. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Have nothing to do with these people, the scripture says. And I would suggest to you that one of the trickiest forms of godlessness, ready? One of the trickiest forms of godlessness, love. Love. Love has tricked more people and hurt more people than any conventional weapon ever could. Anybody ever been fooled by love? Thought you knew what love was. Thought I was sure. I thought you loved me. If you loved me, you would do this, that, and the other thing. Should love be bargained for? In the name of love, murder. In the name of love, suicide. In the name of love, greed. In the name of love, adultery. Oh. Love has created and caused scars that never heal. Wounds that torment the mind. Plague the soul. Stir up distrust in God and people. Love is a tricky thing. 1 John says this way, and we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. Is there a biblical love? Does your love drive you to adultery? Your love drive you, is that biblical to lie, cheat, steal, corrupt, greed in the name of? Interesting, isn't it? For me, it's interesting. Because I want to be a good lover. 1 John also says, whoever does not love does not know God. Because God is love. Oh, what kind of love you got? And is it a biblical love? You know, a lot of people are going to try love, and they're going to try God, because God is love. And there's your next one, try God. Try Jesus. So there's this biblical love and that can get warped, right, into a secular kind of love. You can see how it can move away from. And isn't it just like the enemy to pervert that which God had intended for good and make it worthless? Take love and twist it. People, listen, people do that, not God. The enemy does that, not God. God's very clear. God's standards have not changed. People like to take it and twist it and turn it and make it their own so that somehow they can be considered godly and having a form of godliness, but no power. God is not changing his definitions. God is not changing his plans through Jesus Christ. You can try and change the definitions of love and sin if you so desire to even what you think that it should be so that you might include yourself into God's standards. But God holds the key. God holds the standards. People often try God for a while and then they get discouraged. People will even try love for a while and then they get divorced. Discouraged and disheartened. I'm never going to love again. What kind of love are you talking about? What's God done for me that I should honor him? What kind of love are you talking about? Love is tricky. We can get deceived. We can be given a false narrative or even an idea. And certainly we can easily attach God to all forms of love. And I've heard it countless times. Just paint me a picture of the rainbow, baby. God is love. Okay. And if you try God, and you try to live out a more of a biblical standard or a godly lifestyle, you will be oppressed. You will be persecuted. You will be tempted from it, and you will be teased about it. Just say virtue. Just say virtue. Yeah, just say, I'm saving myself for marriage to the cheerleading squad. Yeah, just say honesty and integrity. Just say unconditional love needs to be in every Christian household, right along with unconditional respect needs to be in every Christian household. Watch how you get teased and oppressed and persecuted. Just say the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins. Who's your God? And watch the persecution that comes at you. Paul's trying to encourage Timothy in this letter, to encourage him to stay the course. Be cautious and be prepared. Paul assures Timothy, as well as each of us, everyone who wants to live a godly life, a biblical standard, a godly love, a biblical love in Christ will be persecuted. And Paul goes into details about his own suffering and how the Lord had rescued him each and every time. Now you can recognize persecution and oppression of a godly lifestyle pretty easily. How? Persecution seeks to destroy the work and the environment of God. It'll seek to cut you down. It'll seek to tempt you away. Oppression will seek to slow you down. Oppression will seek to extinguish the way of life that you so desire. And it won't be long, mark my words, that the Christian is the one who will be living an alternative lifestyle. The work of the Lord continues to move forward. It did 2,000 years ago. Here we are today, reading all about the last days. Again, as we have. Reading about all the love that's in the air. Again. The work of the gospel continues to go forth. The Holy Spirit moves in and out of situations and circumstances. And God does things only God can do. And I pray he's ministering into your heart right now, challenging your own definitions. What is love? What is biblical love? Challenging your own definitions. Are these the last days? The end of last days? Are we still in the beginning of last days? See, God involves himself in the world through persecution. God involves himself in the world through the oppressions that take place. God involves himself in the world through the pandemic. You believe that? Did God take a nap? God involves himself in the world through wars, through earthquakes, through hurricanes, through all of that. God involves himself in the world. Do you believe that? God involves himself in the world. Now, if I can get you to grab hold of this, it might change everything about the way in which you view the world and God. If I can just get you to maybe grab hold and deepen the understanding, God involves himself in the world. Are you ready? God involves himself in the world through you. Through you. What kind of love are you going to give? What kind of love are you going to talk about? What kind of love are you going to share and show? God's involved in the world through his Holy Spirit. God will involve himself in the world through you. I don't know why he does it. I don't think it's a good plan. I know some of you. But this is God's idea, not mine. This is God's idea, not yours. Do you want to walk your ways or do you want to walk God's ways? You want to talk about worldly love or you want to talk about biblical love? You want to talk about how God defines sin or do you want to talk about how the world defines sin? You choose. Day in, day out. Some will deny. Some will try. They'll try God for a while. But you are the voice. You are the feet. You're the temple. You're the church. You're the movement of the Holy Spirit of God upon the planet. This is God's chosen method to use you, unified within his church. You. He's chosen you. I just spent the last week listening to our international workers at council from around the globe describing churches being built in Cambodia and Laos and Vietnam and Japan and Russia and in the Middle East. I listened patiently as an international worker from the Republic of the Congo talked about a 15-year journey and bringing fighting tribes together in Central Africa. Fighting tribes that claim Jesus and claim Jesus and fighting each other. A 15-year journey of understanding, of patience, of compassion, of beginning to understand that God works in the world through you, tribe. Through you, tribe. How are you going to love the other tribe? In Jesus, there is peace. In Jesus, there is peace, there is hope, and there is reconciliation. Do you recognize the Christian Missionary Alliance in North America baptized 400 people a month? We baptized over close to 4,900 people last year. Now, I know that's a little bit slow for our numbers because we usually do twice that. But I'm going, 400 people a month during a pandemic? People are coming to the Lord during a pandemic? People are getting baptized in a pandemic? God didn't slow down. God didn't stop. God kept moving. God kept speaking. God kept preaching. God kept doing only things God can do. 2 years ago, we sent 62 workers into the field. 62 workers into unreached people groups. This year, 2 years later, we send 50 more. Can you imagine that? How's that even possible during a pandemic? You can't be thinking about trying to advance the gospel. You need to be huddled down in your corner and saying, oh, I'm living in fear. Let's just maintain everything we got. That's not the God I know. He expands through persecution. He expands through opposition. He works through you. 50 more being sent out this year. You'll get to hear from one of them on July 4th weekend. I hope you'll come back. We're witnessing God doing things that only God can do. While the world was shutting down right here at New Life Alliance Church, so I never stopped preaching. Our sign out there said, open Sunday. It never stopped saying, open Sunday. Open Sunday. I kept waiting for the call from somebody in the county, somebody from the town to go, hey, you can't be open. No, I got a big sign that says open Sunday. And we were open on Sunday. And we were preaching through media. We were singing songs and we were glorifying the Lord. We never stopped. We kept giving and we kept serving. We kept reaching out. Started passing out food, maintaining the building. We watched and waited as God does things that only God can do. Jesus brings people together, and only the love of Christ will keep them together. All over the world, we're asking people, try God. Try God. Try His ways. Just try. Can I get you to make a moral decision in your life instead of an economic decision that says we have to move in together? Can I get you to make a spiritual decision that says, I'm not going to steal anymore. I'm not going to be greedy in this situation. I'm going to be generous. Try Jesus. You need healing? Try Jesus. You need a breakthrough in your life? Try Jesus. You need an answer to prayer? Try Jesus. You need an end to your depression? Give it to me, Joseph. And God has a way of showing Himself strong in your life every day, day in and day out. But listen, you're going to have to become aware of how God works. You're going to have to become aware that there's this thing sometimes that's pretty tricky, and it's called love. Is that the real kind of love? Is that a biblical love? Is that the love of God? Is that a worldly definition? Can I do this and say, hey, God, just forgive me, will you? Going into it? That way, you're not stumbling. You're not falling. You're choosing to deny God. Listen, you're going to have to become aware. He may give you a love that you're not entirely familiar with. Yeah. Because, you know, forgiveness, that's a different kind of love. Reconciliation? That's a different kind of love. Grace? Mercy? That's a different kind of love. He may not give you all the answers that you think you should have based on your old worldly definitions. He'll show you something new. But you have to be aware and open to what God might do in you. Because He wants to do something through you. And listen, here's your next slide. Try God. And listen, if you don't like God's ways, you know, the devil will always take you back. Right? You, however, you know all about my teachings, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions and sufferings, all what kinds of things that happened to me, the persecutions I endured, yet the Lord rescued me from them all. The Lord rescued Paul from each and every circumstance, from each and every situation that were brought to him through persecution and oppression, because people, as a people, they didn't like his ways of love. They didn't like his ways of mercy. They didn't like it. Certainly didn't like his ways of grace. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Here's your next one, maybe your last one, I guess. Rely on God. Rely on God. So you got some that are going to deny God. You got some that are going to try God a little bit, and who knows where that may lead. And then you got some that are just going to say, I'm going to rely on God. So this particular portion, this particular point is for those that rely on God, that no matter what comes, you will stand in faith. No matter what comes, you will trust in the word of God. No matter what comes, you will proclaim Jesus Christ. This is a foundational statement, and it's a foundational stance upon which the Christian must build his life. Or it is not upon a rock, it is upon the sand. It is not upon the foundations of biblical believing, it is upon the ways of the world. This is basic. This is elementary. But if you do not have this kind of foundation, if you find yourself wavering from time to time, you need to go back and work on your foundation. The Old Testament and the New Testament, inerrant, as originally given, were verbally inspired by God and are a complete revelation of His will for our salvation. They constitute the divine and only rule of Christian faith and practice. That's a statement of faith. That's a statement of faith that Christians would abide by. The Old and the New Testaments, inerrant as originally given, were verbally inspired by God, and they are a complete revelation of His will for our salvation. They constitute the divine and only rule of Christian faith and practice. We live by these commands and these principles that are found in the Bible. Holy Spirit inspired words. We don't look to another source. We don't look for charismatic preachers to have great insight. We don't rely on worldly philosophies. We don't rely on imitators or imposters or those that have a form of godliness or a form of love. No, we rely on God and His Word. Can I get an amen? Amen? But only if you believe it and only if you rely on it. We take God at His Word. Remember how it used to be? Remember how you used to be able to take somebody at their word? You have my word on it, and you'd shake hands. Seen some changes over the last days? Seen some changes in the end of times? Do you see things moving further and further into, what would that be called? Deception, dishonesty, untrustworthiness? What is that? What is that? You can take God at His word. God inspired, God ordained, God originated, useful for our standard of living. Ah, here's your last one. Last slide. Our standard of living has little to do with income and everything to do with outcome. Our standard of living has little to do with income and everything to do with outcome. If you can land your faith on the solid rock of Scripture, you're ready to trust God in the things that He says. God-breathed Scripture is useful teaching. Teaching us the ways of Christ's likeness. There is only one way to know what Jesus was like. Get in the Word. Get in the Word. You want to know what Jesus was like? Get in the Word. You want to know what He thought about religious leaders? Get in the Word. You want to know what Jesus, how He viewed sinners? Get in the Word. You want to know what He thought and saw about the future? Get in the Word. Study the Scriptures. But listen, only if you're going to rely on them. Only if you're going to yield yourself over to what God's going to show you. Otherwise, you know, it's just a bunch of good stories, maybe with some moral implications. That's all it really is. And there's going to be a lot of untruth that you'll hear about it, but you won't know it's untrue unless you get in the Word. There'll be a lot of falsehood about it from the world, but you won't know that unless you get in the Word. There'll be a lot of misunderstandings about it unless you get in the Word. See, do you sense that maybe the end of the end of times, as opposed to the beginning of end times, kind of moving towards the end of end times, that maybe Scripture and biblical values become less and less relevant? Maybe we see that a little bit. The Scriptures will become less and less useful in teaching, less and less useful in guidance, certainly don't belong in public schools. There will be terrible times ahead in the last days. Love will look warped. God's word will be irrelevant. The idea is that the world will fall further and further away, which only means we need to fall further and further into his word. We need to rely on it more than we do the media. We need to rely on God's word more than we do sound bites that come through Facebook and Instagram. The word of God teaches us, not just good moral stories. The word teaches us how to live a life of biblical proportions. You should live a life of biblical proportions. You should live a life of biblical proportions. You should live a life of biblical proportions. All the more in the last days. These are biblical times. You're in biblical times. God did not stop 2,000 years ago. That's just the beginning of the last days. And here we are in biblical times. The world will reproof, rebuke. The word can rebuke, reproof, and correct us in our journey. Are you open to the word correcting you? But that's only for someone who can rely on God. Are you open to that? Are you open to God correcting you along the way? Opening your mind to different thought processes than you'd ever thought about love, than you'd ever thought about time, than you'd ever thought about Christ, that you'd ever thought about awareness to your neighbor, that you'd ever thought. Are you open to what God might show you that is something new than the way you've been living for the last 20, 30, 40, 70 years? Are you open to what God might show you and correct you? Are you open to correction? Anyone ever needed correcting before? Anybody at all? Anybody at all needed correction from time to time? Yes, okay. There's a few of us. Right, I know. I know I've needed corrections from time to time. Just ask my wife. I'm always wrong about something. Am I right? No, I'm still wrong. Yeah, no, I'm still wrong. Of course, we get this. We get that God will correct us and guide us and lead us and shift us. We have to stay resilient in God's ways. It will change the way in which we think. At times, though, it can become so difficult that we don't change. It's just easier to stay on the path of status quo and what you know. We adopt some viewpoints that are not godly, and we mix them into our Christianity, and you're right back to having a form of godliness and no power. You're either his or you're not. You're either all the way in, show me God, teach me God, I want to understand, or I'm just trying God a little bit so that he might teach me some things so that I might be able to, oh, well, yeah, you know, Buddhism, yeah, that, you know, that's okay. All forms of love is, yeah, that's all biblical love, sure. Ways of the world will quickly turn you away. Quickly turn you away. And oftentimes we flee from the persecution and we flee from the oppression because it's just easier if I just stay back here and I just, okay, it's all good. Yeah, it's all fine. And you have a form of godliness, but there's no power. And you're not living a life of biblical proportions. And why would God do this? You know, why? God's word has instructions, and God's word is not meant to be a history book. God's word is not meant to be a mathematical book. God's word is not a geography book. It's not even a philosophical work. I mean, I get, you can tell me all the things that it's not, but tell me what it is. What is God's word to you? What is it? What does it mean? Just one of many ways to understand God? Just one of many philosophies of the world so that we can have religion and claim a faith? Is that what it is? Is that who Jesus is? Just another prophet like Muhammad? Is that who Jesus is? You denying the word of God, but you don't know the word. Do you know the word of God? Why would God require this? It's required reading, by the way. Anybody ever been to a class required reading? You had to go, right? If I wanted to get my PhD or my master, I had required reading. You will not pass go unless you read this book, right? And this book, and this book, and this book. It's required reading. Do you think that the scriptures might be required reading for the Christian? I would think it should be. And the passage gives us a very clear reason why. Why? That you may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's why. Because God wants to do something through you. He wants to do good works through you. He wants to show himself to the world through you. He wants to show himself to the world. And what God can do in the midst of someone's life like yourself, and you live a life of biblical proportions. Founded upon the scriptures, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. That's an amazing God that wants to do that. And again, this only gets us so far because you have to want to be a servant of God. You have to want to rely on God. This doesn't apply to everyone. This does not apply to everyone. You choose. Rely on the scriptures. Rely on God. Trust in his word. Believe in him. And follow his instruction manual. Required reading. Or choose something else. Choose someone else. Each of you are being equipped for every good work. This is why. Don't fail in your work. This is what God is asking of you. I cannot do every good work, but I can do my part. Will you do yours? Will you do yours? Together we accomplish so much more than you ever could alone or I ever could alone. And God is uniting us all together to accomplish his good work. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I just pray your blessing upon each and everyone that is here. Father, I pray that you stir them up in their souls, stir them up in their spirits. Father, that they desire to rely upon you, that they will trust in you, that they will get deeper into your word, that they will want to live a life of biblical proportions. They will want to be the hands, the feet, the voice of God upon this planet. Father, give us opportunity. I know I'm scaring people right now, Father. I pray they get scared. Give them opportunity to speak by your Holy Spirit into someone's life. Show them that they can rely on you and trust you completely for their physical well-being, for their financial well-being, for their emotional stability, and for their spiritual advancement. And Father, I pray you continue to bind us together as only you can by your Holy Spirit. We would be certain to give you all honor, glory, and praise that you so richly deserve. In the name of your Son, amen. God bless you guys.